for folks who don't know, the Free State Project is a movement of voluntary human action where we are trying to concentrate libertarians in the state of New Hampshire.
The Free State Project, again, it's 1% of the Free State movement.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, libertarians, anarchists, movers, natives, and those on your way, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Free State Live, where you can hear about all the different ways you can live free and thrive in the free state of New Hampshire. But first and foremost, time to get everyone here. It's a light show for you tonight. Just me, your favorite, of course, and always our favorite bear from the internet.
I was definitely LARPing as a bear online today. You know, in celebration.
How do you LARP as a bear online? Are the traffic cones to be picked up?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways. I have a lot of different online accounts. Not all of them are just traffic cone picking up bears. You know.
I wasn't even aware there was a traffic cone picking up bear account you had. So,
nope, I'm going to make that in just a minute here.
Well,
no one do I'm that.
Sure, we know who your first follower is going to be. But it's time to get it going. I'm going to abuse that till it's not funny. Anymore.
I got to adjust.
I don't know how long it's going to take for it to not be funny. But moving right along, Carla can't make it tonight. You know, she's busy traveling and spreading that good word, and Bill's busy trying to tell jokes that aren't funny to people. So,
yes,
tonight's episode is about that little old Free Town Project. And like, Kevin, before watching this, were you familiar with the Free Town Project?
Yeah, extremely familiar with this entire story, and especially with like Discord and being so front facing with a lot of people. The book is mentioned a lot. The Grafton thing is mentioned a lot. Are there actually all the bears up there? Is like a question I've seen before. So I'm familiar with it. I made myself familiar with it, and I've met a bunch of people that live up there at this point. And obviously, right away, people were like, "It's a little out blown out of proportion. It's not exactly accurate." And then in like just doing a ton of homework, and like I found years ago, I found right after it came out that Babylon Bee interview that the yep. author of the book did. And I was like, oh, this dude, it like literally says in there that this wasn't the Free State Project. This was a whole other thing. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that this exists. So I've been trying to fight the narrative of like bears are going to kill us all for years. Feels like.
I do love that. That is one of my favorite idiosyncrasies is whenever somebody from the left or somebody who opposes the Free State Project or hates libertarians, they think they get a gotcha when they bring up the bears. And it's like, well, have you read chapter 12 in the book where he talks about how it wasn't the libertarians' fault?
It's one of the things that's just kind of like, again, I almost debate, like most people haven't even read the book. They just see that like kind of this quick synopsis of, oh, this refutes everything. So like, I'll throw it at these people and that's enough for me, you know?
No, we have some people chiming in now. Kurt, I will say I have caught a bear in Manchester before, right up on Amory Street, climbing a tree. And if Davina, if you're nervous about bears in New Hampshire, don't be.
No.
The black bears are really friendly. Unless you're terrorizing them or causing a problem for them and their cubs, they're not going to cause a problem for you. And I'd be more worried about Fisher cats.
The bears here, man, they've run off. Like I just happened to see three bears the other weekend, so I shouldn't really be saying, but like that for the most part, they run off, especially like hiking trails and stuff like that. Every time I've seen a bear, it's been like from a distance and then it just runs away. It was nothing to do with you. If you leave food out in your yard, then and you live like on the edge of the woods or near the mountains, yeah, sure, a bear is going to creep up on you. You're going to get a raccoon or a possum before that happens.
Now there's a bear up in Lancaster near Rogers Campground that is extraordinarily friendly and still timid and still afraid of most people. And like only under the right circumstances will she come out and approach you. And she's spent her entire life living on a campground surrounded by people.
Yeah, eating trash, finding, you know, roaming the woods. It's really not a big deal.
Then I wouldn't say you'd walk around with bear spray all the time because, let's be honest, a .45 is more effective.
Yeah, sure. No, there's really no need for bear spray all the time. We are not bear central. And it's only black bears. Like, again, there's small little guys. They are 99% of the time scared and run away.
And if you do have an altercation, your average person, like maybe not your average person, but like your average black bear can be fought off.
They're just going to be scared of you. They don't like, again, it's not an aggressive like type of bear. This isn't a grizzly bear. Yeah.
Well, it was enough to get a whole book written about it. And a book got a whole episode of an NBC doc. Let's dive into that and see where we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Freedom isn't what most people think it is.
Ocean bears.
Freedom is messy, and some people don't like messy.
The Free State Project is a threat to the status quo.
He is an enemy to the world.
It's not a violent threat, but it's a threat to the ideas.
You have to compete with people that want more authoritarian control over their neighbors and people that want to have their neighbors left alone.
The American people are in an abusive relationship with their government.
How can we stop this overreach of government?
Politicians, people know that they're liars.
USA! USA!
We're fortunate New Hampshire had that live free or die attitude. You're gonna have this clash.
The America we live in now.
Government is violence.
Is not the America that our Constitution is supposed to have created.
An alternative to government is peace.
How that clash ends, well, we'll see.
Mark Warren mentions John Babiarz is a hero. John Babiarz is a fantastic example of how libertarians can have an impact long-term, over a generational time frame, at a local level, just by going out to a town like Grafton and becoming the fire chief.
Well, be a good neighbor, right? Yeah. That's like the biggest thing you can do is like shovel your neighbor's driveway, clear off the side of their part of their sidewalk where the fire hydrant is or something, and just like, no, don't worry about it. I cleared your car off or so. Just simple things can take you so far in terms of just being a good neighbor, you know.
And can we take a second to admire the art from this episode done by NBC? Like, most of the episodes have a pretty generic and very similar art, and then they're like, this one bears.
I wish I had a bear costume I could have worn. No.
At least keeping it family friendly. And yeah, Mark corrects me. A volunteer fire chief of all things.
Oh, see, there you go.
In rural New Hampshire, people are used to bears. It wasn't just that, like, you know, they saw bears. They had some really hair-raising stories about these really extreme encounters with bears.
I do have a rabbit suit.
And so I thought, what's going on here? What is driving this unusual bear activity? And the only other thing that really distinguished it from its neighbors was that it was the basis of the Freetown Project.
It's also nestled right in the heart of a mountain valley. It's also very good climate for that river valley's basin to actually grow fruit berries. And the reason it's settled as a town, like, there's a lot of things that can attract bears to somewhere like Grafton, aside from just being in the woods in New Hampshire.
It's a perfect little spot, especially like the entire area. It's a perfect little spot. And then if you watch like Fish and Game, and a lot of the times that they do capture a bear in Manchester or Nashua or somewhere like that,
they go to Grafton, not supposed to be there.
Yeah. So that they drop it off oftentimes in that area. So it's natural that one of them is going to wander to what they know, which is, again, trash, food left outside, areas of population, campgrounds. It's what bears do. Like,
an easy meal is an easy meal, even to a bear.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Matt Hungel-Tetling. I'm an author, and I wrote a book called A Libertarian Walks Into a Bear that is about the Freetown Project as a sort of precursor to the Free State Project. In around the year 2003, libertarians all across the country were kind of talking about how they could advance their agendas. If they concentrated their political power, that they could turn a community or a region or a state into an example of libertarianism, be this kind of shining jewel, an example of how their philosophy worked in practice.
Once New Hampshire was selected as a free state, the project's destination state, a few people got together and decided, well, if you have a free state project, let's have a free town project.
Brilliant idea. Spontaneous order. They did that on their own. No top-down management. It's like, screw it. I see your free state. I raise you. We're going to be a freer town in your free state.
Sure. You know, some of the stuff is hilarious. It's so funny. I laughed out loud when I watched this. So.
Kurt does mention, it's a sad fact that bears and humans eat the same food.
Yeah, I mean, bears eat everything, right? Like, that's something that's not turning down a nice garbage heap.
Or four or five of them drove around the state of New Hampshire. What community can we latch onto and make ours? But when they went to Grafton, they were received in the public firehouse by John Babiars, who was a firefighter at the time.
I'm John Babiars. Made the move in 93. I wanted to live in an area where I...
Yeah, no, pre-state. Yeah. John Babiars, again, he's a legend, old hat, OG. He was here well before the Free State Project chose New Hampshire. And again, he's indicative of the culture New Hampshire just already had that made New Hampshire so easy for the Free State Project to pick.
Yeah.
So, and I do like, he mentions that like it's some kind of scandal that the Freetown Project was welcomed by in the fire department by the fire chief. People forget that the Free State Project was welcomed by the governor.
Yeah.
At the time. So,
would be free. We have Starlinks. Built and designed my solar array that powers my house. We have our own water and septic here, so it's basically, this is my remote island from a chaotic world. Originally from Southington, Connecticut, raised by parents who escaped from Europe after the war. My mother and father met in the United States, and I was born in Southington. I went to the Air Force, came out of the Air Force, did a lot of computer consulting. Also in 1983, I designed a digital crypto auxiliary unit. Eventually, we were all moved up here. Was a fire chief in town of Grafton here. It was a libertarian-friendly environment that people were actually elected to office, that to do business up here was a lot easier. So I also ran for office here. I got elected as cemetery trustee. You know, I figure if you guys start in politics, why start at the top or start at the middle, start 6 feet under and work your way up.
It's definitely 6 feet
under. My new favorite line ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell everybody the first office you have to run for is cemetery trustee.
Yeah. It is a good way to do it. I mean, again, like just filling in a lot of those positions that, you know, are just hanging out or somebody runs unopposed or whatever. And then these small towns
do.
I have no idea, man.
I've never asked John this. I've never known anybody else who's been elected to the position of a cemetery trustee that I've never talked to him to, but like, what do they actually do?
I don't know what any of these people do. Like all these weird names. Like I have no idea, you know,
I feel like somebody who cares about how my tax dollars are spent in my local government, I should know at this point, but
there's somebody that walks around and checks your backyard for apple trees.
And so I worked my way up, ran for governor in 2000.
He was one of the most successful statewide libertarian candidates in the country at that time. John had run for governor of New Hampshire a few times at that point. So you can imagine from John's perspective, if, you know, 200 libertarians suddenly move to town and are enthusiastic about libertarianism, as these folks all were, they're going to be knocking on doors for me. And so he and Rosalie invited the libertarians to come to Grafton.
I said, well, we're pretty much free here in Grafton. I don't see the problem. Unfortunately, anytime you have any type of movement, you have a few people that are a little extreme. And there was one individual that upset the apple cart and caused the commotion.
He was asserting things in just kind of like the most extreme terms imaginable. Grafton was going to be a place where you could traffic organs and drugs. Consensual cannibalism should be legal. Yeah, and all these like very, very flamethrower type arguments.
I laughed
and
out so loud.
When some...
Based.
I laughed out loud. I was just like, oh man, that's so... It's so good, man. It's one of those things of just like saying it out loud or hearing it out loud is unbelievable, like super entertaining.
No, in the reality though, Grafton is already one of the freest places even here in New Hampshire, because like one of the most oppressive things local governments can do is your zoning laws, telling people what you can and cannot do with your own property. And Mark brought it up earlier here in the chat, like his real estate clients love that Grafton as a town has no zoning laws, no zoning rules. Like within almost any reason, you can do what you want with your property. If you want. And so that already makes you freer than most of the world.
It's one of those things that, like, especially with like that whole list that I just saw get published about the zoning in New Hampshire, it's like, oh wow, like so a town like that suddenly does have an appeal to a ton of people. Or in where we have a housing shortage in New Hampshire, if you have a remote job and you can figure it out, like some of these remote or places that are a little bit more off the grid become a lot more appealing for I think a lot of people.
But there's certainly no trafficking of organs and consensual cannibals.
Oh, man. No, dude.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Somebody from Grafton noticed this. They wigged out and they held a town meeting and demanded that the libertarians come and explain themselves. A lot of people came. They outgrew their regular meeting house. They had somebody set up a coffin, RIP Freetown. They did not like this idea, but the libertarians came anyway. Certainly, Grafton already had bears, and it already had some bear problems. But the libertarians affected the local culture of the bears.
Grafton doesn't have any zoning. And so, as you drove through here, you see nice houses, dilapidated houses.
A lot of them chose to live in these kind of ad hoc living situations in the woods. As they were living, each in their own way, in their kind of individualistic, free living way, they were each handling their own garbage and refuse in their own way. Some of them...
Based?
Yeah, it's super easy. You know, or if you're a guy with a pickup truck, tell everybody on your street, hey, you know, I'm running down to the trash dump.
Sounds like a business opportunity. Like $5, I take you to the dump.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great opportunity for like the survivalist types, the homesteader types. Like, where's your compost pile? Trash is just fertilizer by a different name.
Oh yeah, a ton of stuff. And like again, like all your plastics and stuff, you can again, this guy has a little dumpster set up, something like a bear box or something that's so that animals can't get at it. Make your weekly or whatever trip to the dump, and like again, haul your neighbor's trash out of there. You want to be a good neighbor? There you go. Like super easy stuff. Or again, the other neighbor wants purpose,
just for the joy of watching them eat, which I get. I have a bird feeder. I love it when animals come to my bird feeder. A lot of libertarians were asserting their right to do this.
There's people that feed bears, and it's like, you shouldn't do that because it's not good for humans.
My name is Andrew Timmons, and I've worked with New Hampshire Fish and Game for about 28 years. We're in the woods of New Hampshire, which is home to an estimated population of 6,800 black bears. The last 20.
See, right there, 6,800 of them. That's actually not that many.
No, it's not. I mean, again, like they're big raccoons. They're scared and they're going to run away. That's what happens when you see a black bear.
21 years I have served as the department's bear biologist. We have strong bear populations statewide, and we have abundant bear habitat statewide. It's a common way people like to mount bears because I think it makes them look snarly and mean, but bears don't growl and show their teeth like an angry dog does. You know, bear attacks in New Hampshire are extremely rare. Grafton doesn't rise to a town where we would consider a high level of complaints.
That one line really does make me curious because, like, it's the only complaint you hear.
Yeah, sure.
The bear attacks are Grafton, and Grafton, and Grafton. Like, but it doesn't rise to the level of a high level of complaint. What does? Where are the bear attacks? That was my next question. Where are the bear attacks? Like, can we write that book? Tell me it's some progressive town project.
Oh man, truly good question though. I wonder where are all these bear attacks that are happening in New Hampshire? If this doesn't rise to the occasion and there's a book that someone wrote and it's like, you know, interesting.
Turns out there's more bear attacks per capita in Portsmouth than Grafton.
Yeah, I wonder what it's just Hillsborough County by. How's this? Is this a per capita question? Like, you know, what is this?
In Grafton, the culture was very anti-government. People just simply weren't contacting wildlife authorities about these problematic bears.
You know, I had my chickens free range out in this close to coop. See, this chicken starts running straight towards me. I picked up the chicken and I looked, and 40 feet in front of me was a bear sitting there. And the bear was trying to make a decision whether it was going to go after me to get the chicken or me. The bear came over here. I was standing right here. The bear is where that pine tree is now. Now, I had my office there, and I, you know, just beyond the door is AR-15. And it was like, if I saw the bear running, we're going to have it on. I don't think the bear understood that. If he even made a move, there would have been lead flying like he wouldn't believe.
In the state of New Hampshire.
That's how you handle a bear attack.
I mean, it's if a bear is truly charging at you, yeah. What he could have done too is just yell really loud, like bear, like an idiot, and they'll run away. That's almost always what happens here. But that, I love the drums and the production.
There had never been a wild bear attack on a human. Grafton became, in 2012, the site of the first wild bear on human attack. And then in the time since I've written the book, there was a third bear attack. So after 150 years of no bear attacks, suddenly you have this cluster of three incidents all in a bear's length of Grafton.
There's nothing to suggest that the population of bears in Grafton during that time period spiked, or that people were having some sudden increase of conflicts with bears.
There's nothing to suggest that people were having a sudden increase of conflicts with bears. That's from the deputy, the chief bear biologist for the state of New Hampshire.
The bear guy said, yeah. You know.
Like, I'm not one for an appeal to authority, but I'll appeal to that authority all day.
I would say that people who do appeal to authority or enjoy being told what to do by the government would listen to that guy.
Yeah. The government bear guy.
Do you think that Grafton has a bear problem?
Not so much more than other places.
Bottom line, no correlation that you've seen between the Freetown Project
and
bears.
None.
Oh. That's
it's really funny how the Freetown Project wrapped up. In, I think it was 2016, the Free State Project was officially triggered.
We did it. Today, I'm here to announce that the Free State Project has officially triggered the move, and that participants need to come home.
Instead of Grafton being the only landing pad for them, they could go anywhere in the state of New Hampshire to advance that cause.
You have 5 years from today, February 3rd, 2016.
And why would they go to Grafton? It had a bear problem, right?
To come help build the world's first intentional liberty community.
The Freetown Project just kind of fizzled out around that same time, 2016 or so.
It's so interesting that the trigger of the Free State Project is what led to the demise of the Free Town.
Yeah, yeah.
So they called the demise of the Free Town Project.
Yeah.
The trigger of the Free State Project led to the demise of the Free Town Project. People still move to Grafton. There are still libertarians in Grafton. All of the state reps from Grafton are libertarian. John Babiarz is retired now.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him. But it's still a very libertarian leaning town, and it's still a place to go. I've got a friend who's just moving up there like next week to Grafton.
Again,
with no zoning laws and start a little mini homestead on his new property. Like, to say the Freetown Project ended because of the Free State Project, I mean, people might have just stopped talking about it, but it's still exactly the same as it was.
Yeah, I think it's like an appealing spot. And again, like the book and the other stuff for a lot of people, and again, like especially like the Discord people are like, oh no, I read that book. I'm going to move up there. Like, you know, oh, okay, all right, you know. And again, I think there are definitely way more Free Staters that live there now than there were even back then. Just by, like you said, nature of people moving up there, there's an appeal to it. And especially like that homesteader type, or, you know, the off the grid DIY type, like they're drawn to these places.
If you want to cut that power line in your front yard from the pole and try and run your entire house off a total Tesla battery and homemade solar panels, you can do that in Grafton.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting connection that they've put together there with that triggered the end of one unfold into the other.
It's ironic, isn't it?
I think the free project didn't succeed as envisioned, but in a way it developed a community where people got together within the Free State Project movement. And you see pockets of that throughout the state.
I think that ultimately the Freetown Project was really silly. And I had a lot of fun delving into that particular flavor of silliness. But I also tried not to lose sight of the fact that we're all a little silly, right?
Do you feel like the Freetown Project made Grafton more free?
Didn't change it. We still pretty much...
Didn't change it. Because Grafton was already free. That's why they were moving there.
It's, again, it's a place that was like that before. And again, as someone from here, like, go ask around. Like, people don't know this story. Like, it's it didn't really rise to that. You know what I mean?
Much live and let live in this town. Grafton is still Grafton. I'm not active in any organizations, but I, like an elder, I advise them what they should do, shouldn't do. The old saying is true. Freedom is not free. You can't just rely on the efforts of people in the past. You got to take up your youthful energy and make it happen.
My name is Stephen Ness. I'm 32 years old. We're at the Independence Inn in Stratford, New Hampshire. It's an inn, it's a restaurant. It's like our community gathering space as well. We do some events here. You can see these murals. This is historic Stratford, New Hampshire here. Many of these buildings still exist. I can show you around more. We got our nice gathering area over here, a little lounge. Every Thursday night we do live music, so we'll have a performer over there tonight. We're doing farm to table here. We're trying to use a lot of local farmers and New Hampshire sources for everything. I thought I'd make you guys the Miss Liberty. We shake it up so it's nice and frothy.
Stephen Ass just described the most hippie lefty restaurant you could imagine.
Yeah.
Until you got to the Miss Liberty drink.
It's the way that they do things versus like, yeah.
Hey, like communists make great coffee.
Sure.
Hippies with the farm to table stuff make great food and great serving restaurant. There's some benefit to every ideology's community and the culture they build around it. And it's great to co-opt and take all of the best of all of them
for
the Liberty community.
There you go.
Just a beautiful cocktail. People like it a lot. I still hear about other states or where I'm from originally in Wisconsin.
Making that relevant. I completely forgot about this part. Mark Ward brings up the truth of the restaurant serving bear stew. Stephen Ness had just shared this past week his wife was on a hunting trip and killed two black bears part of her hunting trip. So maybe we'll be getting some black bear stew at the restaurant soon.
Oh, yeah. That was wild post. That was awesome.
And I tell people I know out there that they need to just move out here and just give up on it out there. I run the shell too, but the shell is much more of a blank slate for big events. I do a lot of like welcoming of people moving to New Hampshire for the Free State Project. On the wall here, you might not be able to see it with the camera, but it says welcome home. It's kind of chalked in here, but it's basically when people move here for the Free State Project, we're welcoming them home.
What folks told me and what I tell the new folks here as soon as we meet them and new movers are especially at Porkfest is welcome home, you know.
It's a very emotional thing for a lot of them because there's just nothing else like that anywhere else because a lot of these people left behind their families who might not have understood.
They would say that they're actually pro-community because in their vision, folks are just kind of pitching in. Yes. Their complaint is that the state always has an implied gun to the head for any rule.
With freedom comes responsibility. If you want people to have more freedom without coercion from the government, then you have to have it so people don't want to run to the government as their first solution. Volunteer firemen, volunteer cleanup. There's a lot of the things in this town were done because of volunteers.
In order for that social construct to work, people have to be willing to kick in and contribute.
This
So I do love that. So Mark had brought up in chat again. We should have just had Mark on tonight. He's had some great points.
Yeah, sure.
The best thing about the episode is the guy who wrote the book doesn't have much bad to say about libertarians at all. Haters pointed out as negative, but there's nothing against the FSP in his comments. He seems a little bit liberty-minded. He keeps talking about the ideas of liberty, the ideas of community, and how everything that we're doing as if they're good things. And he just points out small criticisms and how they're executed. And like here, he's pointing out, like, he never says the libertarian idea of a government-free Grafton couldn't work at all. He's saying it needed a community that was more responsible for it to work.
Yeah.
And that's something a lot of people overlook when they read the book, when they try and bring it out as a weapon. It's like Mark pointed out, he seems to be, if not a libertarian himself, someone open to the idea of libertarians having a place in the cultural and social landscape. And he's pretty adamantly upfront about that.
Libertarian.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly it's what it seemed like, especially like once I started following up and like saw him on here and saw him, and like I said, in the Babylon Bee and stuff and a few other places talking about the book. It was interesting, like, oh, like, you know, reading Twitter or online, you just think like, oh, this guy hates us, you know. it's interesting. It's an interesting thing how it's framed versus the reality. Yeah, you know, which you can literally watch or listen to. Them.
An idea that I'll take care of my own, I'll do what I need. They don't want the state government, local government, they certainly don't want the federal government involved. And, you know, that just doesn't work at the end of the day. There's a reason we create a society in which we all contribute and we all benefit. And they really don't want to be a part of that community.
I wouldn't necessarily assume that the entire state is going to be beset by bears and fall into disrepair. That being said, I think it's frightening. Should the movement continue to gather momentum and continue to find willing allies within the Republican Party in particular, some of the measures that they advance could really hurt people.
There's so much activism going on. You know, a lot of people are running for office, so people are all volunteering and campaigning, and that's all coming to a head, I guess, next week for primary. So we'll have a big primary results watch party where a whole bunch of candidates will be there.
I want to do everything I can to reduce the power of government. I want to cause as much trouble as I can, disrupt as much as I can.
So, I mean, I feel like, hey, you know, we can really make some big impact here. And the purpose is not evil.
We're going to have to see what the voters decide in the election. If the voters wake up and pay attention to this, I don't think they will be successful. What these people are asking for is way too far.
I think the Free State Project is going to give you a microcosm of what normal people go through. We've had Free Staters die. We have new Free Staters born. We have young families, old people, people that want to make a difference.
The lounge over here, we have a lot more casual discussions.
People that want to see the future generations to have the same kind of freedoms that we have.
You can have anything that you want, as long as you agree that you're not going to hurt other people and you're not going to steal their stuff.
People just gotta yeah, that's all it is.
You know, hearing that dude and Zandra, I'm just like, you're the kind of person that refuses to push their shopping cart into that cart corral thing. Like, you have to, you know, I don't know, something.
It's weird because
any other way.
You hear, what is his name, the author of the book, and Zandra, and the way they talk about libertarians, and he says, like, he describes how we want all these things to happen without government, and she takes the perspective of we don't want them to happen at all. So she says we don't want to be part of a community that comes together and takes care of each other, and that's not true.
Right.
And we see our community act to take care of each other all the time, constantly, whenever something comes up. And just because we have a common tether in a political sphere doesn't mean that that community engagement is any less valid. And like she says, we would, like, the one thing I don't get was when he says, like, some of our policies would cause real harm to people. Which ones?
First thought was, yeah, be more specific. Like, you know, what are you talking about? Is there a policy to, like, turn off all the hospitals? Like, that's not a thing. So, okay. So, like, be more specific. I can understand some of your arguments, and we can talk about those things, but it's just such a broad stroke. Like you said, is, well, you don't want to be in a community. Like, what are you talking about? It's just one of those things. Like, I don't even know how to I'd have to talk to these people. Like,
to say that libertarians don't want to be part of a community when the reality is so many libertarians have moved to New Hampshire because it's the only place in the world they've been able to find a community.
It's the biggest sell. It's the biggest sell when people are like, well, what's it like? It's, you know, I'm not like, oh, well, policy, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 just went through and we're all really excited about that. So we had a barbecue. It's selling people on the barbecues and the backyard things getting together for something like that type of thing is where people are drawn to. And again, that's what, because they, it's not like we all live in houses in a row or in a big neighborhood together. It, we're scattered all over the state from small towns to the big cities. And you have to be a good neighbor and do those things if you want to be in a community of people. If you're just a jerk, nobody really wants you around regardless of your political.
I will say the longer I've been in New Hampshire, the harder, and mind you, I'm not doing this with any intent. I move around a lot. Like, I change apartments every few years. I move around, jump around. That's just who I am and what I do. But the longer I've lived in New Hampshire, the less likely I've been able to find an apartment in a building that didn't already have Free Staters in it. When I first moved to New Hampshire, I was in a building with 15 other apartments and not a single Free Stater. Now I'm in a building with 5 apartments and 3 Free Staters.
A part of it too is like you can network your way in to a place or something like that too.
Right.
And that can be super beneficial. And, you know, again, that's a benefit of being a part of a community. Like, yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, I hear, you know, it's again, you hate kids. You don't, you know, you don't care about kids. You don't want kids to eat food. Some of those same things of just like, again, like I said, the difference being there might be a different way to do it versus not wanting to do it at all. And that's where it's, I just, some of these people refuse to accept or acknowledge that there might be another way.
Chris points out, check out fsp.org/community to hear more about what a Free Stater is, what people are doing. Porkfest is coming up right around the corner. Most of you are going to Porkfest, except for Kurt. But we look forward to seeing everybody at Porkfest. If you're coming to Porkfest at some point, stop by the FSP Hub. We're going to be at the top of the hill, right behind registration, near the cabins. And every night between 6 and 8 p.m. evening, it's still going to be light outside. We're going to have the cameras set up. We're going to have projects set up. We're going to have be working on a project where you and people like yourself in the community can stop by and talk about your experience as a Free Stater, your experience with the community, so we can put together our own little project to show New Hampshire what the Free State Project community is like. So again, that'll be every night between 6 and 8 p.m. We'll be up there at that Free State Project Hub at the top of the hill. Myself, Rebecca, Chris, Kevin will be there at times too.
Wandering through.
But come make sure it happens. It's going to be a great time. And, of course, they're going to be doing similar stuff over at the Discord Hub.
Oh, yeah. Those kids will be hanging out. I'm splitting time between my own family and then everywhere else. So I'll be at the Discord Hub, definitely at over with you guys, a whole bunch near the cabins right behind registration, right after the gate there. So
yeah,
should be good.
Well, like I said, Porkfest is right around the corner. There's no better time of the year to make your visit. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, it's almost sold out. Still some tickets left. There's still some lodging left. I did see a message this morning. Nothing at the campground, nothing at Rogers, but a few rooms at the cabin, a few rooms at the Coos Motor Inn, and some few rooms as far away as Littleton. So there is still places to stay. You can make it work. Make sure you check in, though. Get those tickets, get connected, get in, and get in touch with Chris and Rebecca. They can help you plan your move. fsp.org/visit New Hampshire or make your move or your welcome wagon if you're on your way. If you're coming for Porkfest and planning on staying, that's one way to do it. In fact, I know we've got another friend moving up from Boston who's coming to Porkfest and then not going back to Boston when she's done.
Oh, yes.
So she's driving all the way up, then only back down to Nashua. So it does happen. You can do it. It's a great way to make your move if you're already local or making that happen. And if you're here, check out the calendar, fsp.org/calendar. It is the most jam-packed Liberty Events calendar in the world. I joke, but I think it's going to be super fun when we try and do a whole week where Kevin does every event and we make a mini documentary about him burning out.
I think, yeah, we'll see. We have to line it up. I have to take some days off from work.
Right. But and if you guys want to support the Free State Project and everything we are doing, you can head on over to ffp.org/give. And remember, the Free State Project is a 501c3 charitable nonprofit, so your donations are tax deductible, and you get to tell Uncle Sam to pound sand. And that's my favorite thing to do with my money, is to not pay it in taxes. Kevin, anything else?
No, that's it. I started packing for Porkfest already, getting things organized.
I haven't started at all. So.
I'm a good little Boy Scout, so getting everything together now so I don't forget anything once I am up there, which inevitably happens.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing everybody up there. Again, we only got one more episode this season until we see you at Porkfest, right? Or two. Two more episodes. I'm losing track of calendars, and it's a mess. Porkfest is as soon as Porkfest is. We'll see you all there. We'll see you all right back here next week. Next week's episode we're covering is about the primaries, and that's a fun one. I know we were all involved there. So until then, stay free.
Take it easy.
Yeah, I don't believe in destiny. I just do what's best for me. Don't listen to my enemies, they're just full of jealousy. Yeah, this legacy, you gon' see what's left of me. You gon' see success in me. You ain't seen the rest. I just wanna be the best at what I know. Better than the rest, just watch me grow. Put me to the test and watch me go. This is my quest, I'ma make it known. They call me obsessive, oh I know. Call me selective with my notes. Call me aggressive with my flow. Call me offensive even though Joey ain't gonna lie.